Greetings from the Simon Schmid podcast. This is the live edition and you're live with Si. So warm welcome to everybody. Hope you guys have had a fantastic day. Can't wait to serve a whole bunch of people tonight and really talk about something that I'm extremely passionate about. And I've had the privilege of working with many athletes in this sport and being a very enthusiastic rider myself. I can't wait to share these tips and advice that have got people to the finish line and helping people race better, enjoy more, and have more fun. So in tonight's Live with Si, I'm going to be talking about how to race better. And, you know, when participating in motorsport, as you are, I'm sure, aware, that the costs are massive, huge costs. It's a very costly sport. It's a very expensive hobby. And there's a lot of detail that gets missed. People miss out the detail in between the time of committing to an event to the time that they do the event. They don't plan properly. They don't prepare properly. They waste a lot of money. And ultimately, I've seen this happen time and time again. People don't get to the finish line, or they get to the finish line and they absolutely hate the experience of participating in one of these events. But before we dive into that, I just want to qualify myself. For those of you going to watch this live, for those of you going to listen to this on the podcast, I've had the privilege of working with riders that have completed every single extreme enduro event in the world, as well as the Dakar Rally. So I'm very qualified and I know what works and I know what doesn't work. And over a decade of working with high-performance athletes and also weekend riders just wanting to do and challenge themselves, do an event, which is an overseas event, something like Romaniacs, and entering a lower class such as bronze class or even silver class, I know what works. I know what doesn't work. And I just think there's such a gap where people are not being coached, that are committing to these costly events, and they're really not being supported correctly, and they're not supporting themselves correctly. So tonight is about sharing my experience, sharing my knowledge, and I hope this comes into practice, that you can use it to either ride your bike better, race better, whatever sport or discipline that you are participating in, using these principles. Not only just for extreme enduro, but or Dakar Rally, but using these principles to do your triathlons better or run better or anything that you are wanting to race better. So, first and foremost, you know, when deciding on what event you're going to do, a lot of people, you know, they take a bit of time, they see an event on TV, they either watch the Dakar Rally or they watch Romaniacs, they get all enthusiastic, and they come up with this idea that they're going to do it. And I've seen this time and time again of people leaving it to the last minute. Well, the last few months. They think, and they don't commit. And they waste so much time in between the time that they could have been preparing and training correctly as to when they should have actually entered and committed to the event. So the first most important thing is, before you are entering any event, ask yourself why. Why are you entering this event? What is your why? Is it because you want to challenge yourself? Is it because maybe a friend or a family member or your dad has completed this event that you want to have the same experience? Really understanding what your why is. That's the first step. The second step is being honest with yourself, is actually just saying, okay, how committed am I to getting over the finish line? And rate yourself. 7 out of 10, 6 out of 10, 5 out of 10, just being honest with yourself, 10 out of 10. And based on that commitment level, then make a decision if you're going to enter. And my experience of working with athletes and working with clients, anyone wanting to achieve something, even it may be change to a certain extent, they may want to change something in their life. If you're giving yourself a score of anything less than 7, don't bother, because you will not achieve it in my experience of working with people. People fall short. So your gauge needs to be at least a 7 out of 10. If you're going to do the Dakar Rally, if you're going to do Romaniacs, if you're going to do Erzberg, whatever it is you're going to do, an Ironman, if your score is below 7, the chances of you getting over the finish line are very, very slim. So let's take it that you have given yourself a score of 7, 8, 9, or even 10. Then commit. Committing to the actual event. Enter, pay for it, commit to it. It's in the calendar. This is extremely, extremely powerful because it makes you accountable. It really does. And I've seen this time and time again. People that, you know, yes, some people are slightly impulsive. They're very committed. They've scored themselves. They've taken the services and worked with me. They've identified what they want to do. They've entered. They're in. They're locked in. And then the process starts. And the process of getting over the finish line needs to be an enjoyable process, because often we get lost. We get incredibly distracted in, and it becomes too heavy. It becomes too weighted. It becomes so much of an effort to keep going. So that's why the why is very, very, very important. Understanding why you're doing this. Why am I actually wanting to get over the finish line and complete Romaniacs? Is it to bank memories? Is it to make my family proud? Whatever it is, it's personal to you, but understanding your why will help you remain disciplined throughout. Then you're entered the event. Then you're in. You've committed, and you've committed to yourself, and you've committed to the event. And then what I normally do and what I suggest people do is work backwards. Work backwards as if though you have finished the event. And you create a timeline. When you're training, logistics, what needs to be organized, food needs to be prepared, training times, etc., etc., etc. This is one of the most, and I only started doing this in, you know, the last 5 years of my work, is actually working backwards. And I've noticed it really works so much well, because there's a lot of anxiety, especially with international races, people traveling all around the world. You know, there's logistics challenges, and you get things that come up, this thing that you cannot control. And this obviously feeds to anxiety, and a lot of energy gets wasted before you even get to the start line. So working backwards as if you've finished the event, you've got your medal, you're on that stage, and I do some steps of visualization, how it feels, who they want around, how they want that experience to actually look, feel in detail. Actually in detail is so important, because I've seen people get to the finish line, they're so disorientated, so exhausted that they don't even enjoy the moment. So working backwards. So for example, you may have 6 months, you may have 3 months, you may have 12 months. Obviously, if you're not working with a coach, working with yourself, that you know exactly what you're doing every single day, every single week, month in, month out, until you get to that finish line. And it's very important, especially with international races, that you factor in time for logistics, because logistics is a huge stress. Transportation, bag allowances, equipment you can take. You know, a lot of guys rent bikes, they rent equipment. It becomes very, very stressful. And also taking your time. If you are going to rent a bike, for example, at Romaniacs or Erzberg or whatever these events which you've selected, is really looking at different operators. Take your time in your decision, because I see a lot of people selecting the wrong person that's the wrong fit for them as a person, and the wrong fit for them in terms of the service that they want, and the whole experience actually falls apart and becomes very, very stressful. I've even seen people split away from a team during an event, and that is just added pressure. So take your time in selection of who you're going to use and why, and take the time and speak to past customers that have used the HR Rally team at the Dakar, and speak to these customers and ask them questions, taking your time, because it is a huge investment. You're trusting these people to get you over the finish line, so you need to take your time. Very, very, very important. So just a quick little recap. You know, I am going to post this on my podcast, on the Simon Schmidt podcast, so you can listen to this on the audio. It will be on the Facebook group as well, so you can play it back on replay. But number one, really understanding why you're doing this. Why am I doing this? What is my motivation? What's going to keep me disciplined throughout this whole process? Number two, rating yourself. Identify what are you out of 10 commitment level. And I hate to say it, if it's anything below a 7, the chance of you finishing are very, very slim. So rate yourself. If you're a 7, 8, 9, or 10, that means you're ready. Next step, commit, enter. Put it in the diary, pay the entry fee, commit to it, pay the deposit, you're in. Fourth step, work backwards. If you're not employing a coach, work backwards from the finish line in detail what needs to be done. And what needs to be done and needs to be factored in is logistics, travel time, training time, equipment preparation, reviewing your supply of your equipment. What team are you going to buy into? Who are you going to use and why? Immerse yourself with their customers, old customers, new customers. Look at their reviews. Look at their strengths. Are they in alignment with you? Taking your time with this is very, very, very important. So once you've got a map, you've got a kind of framework to work with, then you can fine tune things. Now you've got you know why you're doing it. You know how committed you are. You've committed to the time. You've got a plan in place. You've selected your team. You know, this is already creating such a wonderful structure, an amazing structure that's going to support you getting to the finish line. Now you've got this framework, we start to fine tune. We start to look at weaknesses and strengths as an athlete. What are your weaknesses? What are your strengths? People don't do this. You know, and when I go through this exercise with clients and I call them up on their weaknesses, normally their weaknesses are a lot longer than their strengths. And that needs to be really focused on. And what I try and do is try to minimize the weaknesses, not eradicate them, and maximize the strengths. So knowing what your strengths and weaknesses are, writing them down. What are my strengths and weaknesses from an equipment point of view? You know, how long is a piece of string? You can spend huge amounts of money on equipment. You can overspend. I've seen this, guys buying factory suspension where they're not factory riders, and it's a complete waste of money. Understanding what equipment suits you based on your strengths and weaknesses, because there's a lot of wastage that goes in. Rather spend the money on hiring a coach, working with a conditioning coach, you know, maybe planning a trip in between so you get an understanding of the lay of the land, and maybe flying over to meet the team that you're going to work with, you know, in terms of the equipment team that's going to provide you with the bike and the maintenance and the service. So really the strengths and weaknesses give you a real insight into what is going to fit you correctly in terms of your plan and executing it correctly to get to the finish line. So now you've looked at your strengths and weaknesses. You've got a framework. You've got a beautiful framework. Now you're fine-tuning it. Then based on those strengths and weaknesses, you can look at your, as I said, equipment. You can look at yourself physically, mentally, and emotionally. Taking those factors in, what are my strengths physically? What are my weaknesses physically? What are my strengths mentally and weaknesses mentally? What are my strengths emotionally? And then fine-tuning that according to those strengths and weaknesses in those categories. So a lot of guys that I work with and I have worked with, the majority of them are very good cardiovascularly. So they cycle, they mountain bike. The majority of bikers mountain bike or they cycle on the road. So cardiovascularly, very strong. But functionally, they're very weak. They're not functionally strong. They're not functionally athletic. So I have a big focus on their functional conditioning that is specific to their sport. And be specific. You know, if you're a triathlete, you don't need to be doing powerlifting. You need to be doing specific training that is going to support you in your sport. So be specialized with this. And if you, once again, can afford, invest in a specialist, a guru, a person that's going to give you knowledge on that's going to help your conditioning, that's going to advance you, because it's a time thing as well. You must also remember that when entering these big events, there's a huge constraint on time. Families get affected, dynamics with your marriage may be, it causes friction because it's time away, it's money, it's costly. So these need to be taken into account, because it's very, very important that you don't waste time, because otherwise you end up wasting money. So understanding what your strengths and weaknesses are physically, what your strengths and weaknesses are mentally and emotionally, what your strengths and weaknesses are in terms of your budget. Where's my budget? Do I have a lot of budget? Don't I have a lot of budget? And just mapping that out and fine-tuning this plan that you're working back with, that you're working backwards with, gives you such valuable intel on how you need to prepare and when you need to be doing what and how you need to be training and when you need to be training in a certain way, etc., etc. So framework is very, very important. And I'm going to go back and forth just to repeat myself so that no one gets lost. So remember, as a start, what's your why? Rate yourself. If it's below 7, you're not committed enough. That's the truth. That's okay. No judgment. You're not ready. You haven't hit that marker where you say, I'm going to do it. Third step, enter. Set a date. Commit. Right? Then identify your strengths and weaknesses. Then map out a plan that you've actually finished the event. Work backwards. Fine-tuning your strengths and weaknesses physically. What are your strengths and weaknesses mentally? What are your strengths and weaknesses emotionally? What are your strengths and weaknesses financially? What are your strengths and weaknesses on the equipment front? And once you've understood this framework, once you've understood the strengths and weaknesses, you can then see what's going to fit you correctly. One more thing I've forgotten is also selection of the correct team. Take your time. You know, just on that subject, on the team, you're going to be spending, if you're doing Dakar, anything from 20,000 to 25,000 euros on support. So take your time. It's a big investment. It requires some time to be spent on it. And you need to select the right people. And as I've said before, I've seen people fall apart, not because the team hasn't provided the right support, but the personalities don't work. Spend time with the person that's going to be managing you through the event. Understand him. Have a Zoom meeting with him. I've spent many, many sessions that I've actually had a Zoom meeting with the person that's running the service for the event, and getting a feel for if you're a right fit. It's like me as a coach. I mean, last week I had 2 calls that the people are not suited for me, and that's just the way it is. It's nothing personal, but you need to have a fit. You need to slot into the team correctly. That's very, very, very important. So this framework is going to be your template, and it's going to comfort you as well. It's going to comfort you, especially, as I said, when logistics start to, as the event gets closer, sending stuff off, planning your flights, all that kind of stuff, that is time consuming. And that needs to be really thought out. And what I try and do is I create a template for the clients of a time frame in terms of how much time they need to be spending on a weekly basis on this project. And obviously, as the event gets closer, that time either increases or decreases. It usually decreases on the physical side and increases on the logistics and the planning, nutrition, all that kind of stuff. So allocating a certain amount of time a week is very, very important. If time is a problem for you, you know, these people that are doing the events that I've coached are privateers. I've had a few professionals, but you know, they work, they have to fund themselves. So allocating 5 hours a week, 10 hours a week. And that must also include training, and it must also include recovery. Very, very important. A couple of years ago, I trained guys that were doing the Epic, which is a multi-stage, very, very hard mountain biking race that the amateurs ride with the pros. If you haven't heard of it, check it out. It's incredibly challenging, but beautiful scenery, an amazing event to follow. But it, you know, it takes 6 to 8 months of training and anything from 15 to 25 hours a week. But those 25 hours or 15 hours must also include your recovery. So the massage, the ice bath, etc., etc. So having your template, your framework to fall back on, understanding exactly how much time you're going to be spending a week up into the event. Well, you're going to be working backwards, but you sort of can see how you can plan accordingly. It gives so much clarity. It gives so much comfort to the client and to you who's participating in the event that nothing gets overseen. You prepared financially. You prepared physically. You prepared emotionally. You prepared mentally. Your equipment's prepared. Your team's prepared. So it's just creating a checklist. And once again, I've seen people do Romaniacs. They haven't even done a multi-day ride. They haven't done 3-4 days in a row. They haven't spent time going to Romania and doing a trip. They just throw themselves in. And on day three, they can't go anymore. They bomb, they bonk, they hit a wall, and they waste thousands and thousands of pounds. And I've seen the same happen with Dakar, and I've seen the same happen with a lot of events. Guys get caught up in the race environment. They don't stick to their structure and they blow. They don't end up getting over the finish line. And that's not because they don't have the ability. It's because they're not prepared. So preparation is very, very important. Detail is very, very important. And just doing what's realistic financially, guys spending over budget on equipment when they're not a factory level rider. For example, as I've said, buying factory suspension when you're not a factory rider, spending £3,000-£4,000 or €5,000-€6,000 on additional equipment for your bike when you're not that level of rider. So rather allocating that money to a trip, to going to train on the bike in that area is much more valuable than buying equipment to make you faster when you can't go faster. Does that make sense to you? So this framework is going to be your God, as I'd say, because it's a big commitment. It's a huge commitment to all these events financially, time-wise. And this map that I map back with clients goes up either in the office or somewhere visible. So it's constantly, constantly looked at. So subconsciously, you know exactly what needs to be done. And the structure gets rid of any kind of suffering. Because especially as time gets close to the event, the anxiety levels go up. Oh my God, I got to spend more money. They call for the balance of deposits. It's lots of factors start to play a part. And you know, even if it's someone to just rely on, whether it's a friend, whether it's a person that is going to do the event as well, involving yourself, soaking yourself in an environment with other competitors is also really valuable if you can't afford a coach. Speak to guys, get tips from the locals, reach out to people. You'll be fascinated in the advice you can get from past competitors to people are entering a team, training tips, passing on knowledge, equipment advice, lots of things. There's lots of knowledge to be shared. So let's move into the kind of event space now. You've obviously done the homework. You've prepared yourself physically, mentally, emotionally, financially. You're committed. You've done the work. You've got your team. The equipment's fine-tuned. You spent time on your setup. You've changed a few things. You've played around with suspension, you've played around with equipment, getting an understanding of what works for you. But just before we go into the next thing is, I've noticed a lot of guys, they start to add on more equipment. So when they're doing an event, as per se, they are having more stuff in their camel pack. They are wearing different boots. They're wearing more safety equipment on themselves, which leads to more weight, and they're not used to it. So as a rule of thumb, whenever you are training, especially biking, try and ride as if you're going to be riding in the event. So if you are doing Romaniacs and you have a certain amount of kit that you're taking, which you would plan for, and we would spend time in identifying what kit you need, the bare minimums, you ride and you practice with that equipment. Very, very important, because you know what it's like. I mean, it's like a rugby player. He's not going to do practice with no rugby boots or a gum guard. He's going to practice like he trains. That's very important, is practicing like you are doing the event. That is something that is one of the hard rules that I have. No matter how you're training, when you're training, what days you're doing, if you're doing time on the motocross track, you ride with equipment that you're going to be racing with or participating in. That's a non-negotiable, because that difference in weight, that difference in heaviness on the equipment, on the bike, makes a huge difference in how you perform and ride the bike. So let's go into the actual event. So you're doing the event. The event started. It's very exciting. You're in it. Your nerves are up. The anxiety levels are up. It's very, very important. One of the most important things, I would say, besides the detail of the planning and all these kind of things, is knowing what to eat and playing around with different supplements, playing around with different foods, really getting an idea of what works for you, what doesn't work for you. Because once again, I've seen people spend tens and tens and thousands of euros and pounds, and they get to event and they start taking supplements that they've never ever taken. They start waking up earlier than they've never woken up before, and they fail. They don't get to the finish line. So also in the training, I also recommend making allowances for trying out different foods when you're doing your rides or your training rides. See what works for you. Play around with supplements. I try and keep on the natural food kind of journey instead of the supplementation. There is supplementation that you can use, but you need to trial and test it. Some guys swear by supplements, some guys swear by food, some guys like to do a combination, but really get a feel of what works for you on a personal level. So now you're in the event, you're prepared, you've done the work, you're in. The flag's gone down. This, on top of food, is incredibly important, what I'm going to say now. Understanding what you need to do every single day. Not at the race, before you arrive there. Knowing what day one looks like, knowing what day two looks like, knowing what day three looks like. Why? So you can plan accordingly. You can plan your day's nutrition. You can plan when you're going to have breaks. You can know exactly what's coming your way. Do not leave it till the time of the event, till the time that you've done scrutineering, till the time that you've, arrived in the country. Spend time looking at the days, what they're involved, when you need to warm up differently, when you need to take more nutrition, when you need to question the equipment that you're using. That is very, very important, understanding what each day takes, because it's not about in the event getting to the finish line. It's about completing each day, especially in the multi-day stuff. Finish each day well and you get to the finish line. Don't focus on day four, day five, when you haven't even done day one. So also understanding what is coming for you during that day, what is in store for the day, planning your nutrition accordingly. Now, another tip that I'd like to share with you is actually planning your food, but marking it. So in the detail of planning your day, you may be on, for example, the bike for 10 hours. So you need to be eating, my athletes or my riders or my clients, they need to be eating every 90 minutes, not negotiable. Every 90 minutes they eat. They have it on their handlebars, they have a marker on somewhere that reminds them to eat every single 90 minutes. And preferably between 35 and 45 grams of carbohydrates. I'll give you an example. I think four wine gums are the equivalent to 25 grams of carbohydrates. So it's small little bits of food, not a lot, because that's the mistake people make. They do day one, they do day two, and then they start to eat too much, and the body's already, you can't catch up. So it's about little bits all the time. So every 90 minutes, you need to eat. And we mark the bags. Bag one, bag two, bag three, four, etc., etc., based on the day that is ahead of you. And this works really well because it gives you a goal. Okay, I've got to eat 8 times today. I've got to eat 5 times today. And what happens is you get distracted. So the focus is not finishing the day. The focus is when I'm having my next snack. And before you know it, it distracts the client. It distracts you, the rider, the competitor from, oh my God, I've still got another 4 hours to go. No, you just got 90 minutes to go. So it breaks it into segments, little baby steps. And that's what it's about. Really, these events is about endurance. It's about being able to get yourself over the line physically, mentally, and emotionally. It's not about the skill level, really. Yes, obviously the pro level, the skill level is very high. And you need that. But you're going to enter a class that is going to be relevant, that's going to be a reflection on your level as a rider or as a competitor. So the bag marking of the food is a wonderful, wonderful little tip. And, you know, celebrating every single time that you eat is also something that I try and get my clients to do. Set number one, bang, done. Bag number two, done. Wow, making it. So it's these little steps and it builds confidence. And what I've noticed, that if done correctly, every single person I've worked with, every single rider I've worked with gets stronger. And they all say to me when we do a preview and a review, they all say to me, I could have done another day. I felt so good. Whereas the majority of people that are not prepared to prepared correctly, they don't want to do the event ever again. They say day three was their toughest day. It's about what your body can handle physically. And you need to be hydrated. You need to be fueling your body correctly for the job at hand. And it's a big task. I mean, you're going to be burning anything over an event such as Romaniacs, anything from 10,000 to 20,000 calories, which is immense. And then you've got the added pressure of different environment, different culture, competition, you know, other riders around you, lots of other factors which bring up anxiety. And that anxiety eats energy. And I've seen people completely get flooded with overwhelm and anxiousness that they really struggle to maintain their energy levels and they can't get to the finish line because they're so worried about what's going on around them. And it's a lack of preparation. It's a lack of awareness. And clients end up just wasting their money. So I'm also proud to say that every single person I've worked with has finished. And that's something I'm really proud of. And it's something that is testament to the commitment of my clients, obviously. But it's that fine tuning. And what I'm doing is not rocket science. It's just helping support people step by step with a lovely framework that supports people in knowing that it's possible if they stick to the structure. So when they deviate, then they're playing catch up, or they don't eat correctly, or there's an oversight in certain things. That's when things fall apart. So there's always, allow for some flexibility with your plan, but stick to your structure. The structure is going to support you getting to the finish line, and most importantly, make you enjoy your riding. So this is kind of little stuff I'm talking about during events, these little tips. But what's really important, and a lot of guys will obviously resonate with this, it's after the day. There's usually a liaison back to the hotel. And that time between the time you finish and the time you obviously get the bike sorted and recover is crucial. You need to get nutrients into you, some dense foods into you. You need to hydrate. You need to refuel before doing the bike. That's the most important thing. Obviously, things break and you've got a service team. That's fine. But knowing that you've got a service team and the bike is sorted does help tremendously. I know a lot of people at Dakar don't have the luxury of that, or they choose not to. Getting yourself ready for the next day is priority. You know, the equipment will last. Obviously, if there's something drastic, so be it. But really getting yourself prepared, knowing that there's someone there that can give you food on the liaison. You can start putting in nutrients into your body. You can start rehydrating yourself. Waiting 2 hours or 3 hours to start getting your recovery going, you've wasted that window. It's very, very important that you fuel yourself after the event, and giving yourself anything from an hour to 90 minutes, you need to be getting on top of your hydration and your nutrition. Very, very, very important. And planning that, and what I normally suggest doing is planning that as your last meal. So that'll be on your last bag of food, will be your liaison food. So accounting for your nutrition, not just when you finish the finish line, is when you finish the day completely. And that means you're recovered and your bike is ready for the next day. So planning the food accordingly. So adding in more food is also what I suggest. So we've got a lot going on here, and I understand there's a lot of detail. So take your time, press pause. And if any of you get unstuck, please feel free to DM me any of your concerns or interests, and I'd be absolutely honored to send you a voice note and reply to your questions. So the event's happening. The event's happening. You're in it. You're prepared. You've got your nutrients sorted. You're recovering correctly. But events, curveballs happen. Things pop up. Things happen. Equipment breaks all of a sudden, or there's some problem with logistics, or it's just things go wrong. And this is a magic little tip for anybody in any sport that you do. Two things. Journal about your day. Make notes about your day. Celebrate the things you did well. Identify the things that you didn't do well. Being as present as possible is a struggle. And I know what I'm asking you to do during an event because it's so stressful. But taking the time, once things have settled, once you've got yourself sorted, once you've got your bike sorted, just a few notes, journal, writing down your experiences. What did you experience today? Wow, day one was amazing. The scenery, the terrain, the riding, the equipment was good. Oh, didn't really like the choice of tire. Okay, maybe change that. But writing it down, getting out of your head, writing it down, being as present as possible. Because when the curveballs happen, anxiety rises and we lose sight of it. And going back on the days that you've done and the journaling and making notes, also suggest doing this even leading up to the event. You know, you can identify your strengths and weaknesses. If you're doing outrides, when you're going training, making some notes, what you did well, what didn't you do well, keeping a logbook effectively of how you're doing. It's so important. And I've noticed over the years, the clients that have stuck to this always remain calm because they know what they can control. They know what's going right. They know what's going wrong. They put it on a piece of paper. They can see it for what it is. And they remove the emotion out of it. They don't get sucked into the hype and the worry or the dread or the anxiety of something that they can't control. So very, very important tip is take your time and make some notes. Make some notes of your day. Keep a logbook of yourself, how your body's feeling, how the bike's feeling, how the equipment feeling, how's the service going, and just keeping a log. Because what I love to do with all my clients is actually creating and celebrating a little book with pictures of your training, the struggles, the good times, and a little kind of celebration. A lot of my clients do this with a frame, with their medal and their jersey and pictures of the road book and all sorts of things. So it's a wonder. You're banking memories. That's the most important part. No matter where, if you're going to compete or not, banking memories of the experience is so important. because so many things we don't see during these events. We miss them. We, you know, they go one ear and then they go out the other ear. So taking time to make some notes, gold, 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 gold. And whether you're a professional rider, whether you're a professional athlete, whether you're a hobby rider, it's about an experience. And it's about supporting yourself correctly. That's really what this is about. If you want to race better, if you want to perform better, it's about sticking to a structure. It's about having a plan. It's about fine-tuning. It's about managing yourself correctly, the expectations you have, being honest with yourself, your strengths and weaknesses, being realistic with your budget, because that, especially Dakar guys, that becomes very stressful because there's fundraising that needs to take part. And, you know, they run out of money, you know, towards the end. And that's stressful. And then the training gets shortened and the increased focus on trying to raise more money is where the energy goes. And that's a dangerous place to be in. So don't bite off more than you can't chew. It's very, very important. Be realistic. Choose your class correctly. Don't choose expert if you're not an expert rider. Don't do a full Ironman if you know you haven't can't complete a half Ironman. Be realistic with what you can do and do events. Spend time. Soak yourself in this environment of competition is important. Because when going overseas, there's so many factors, especially with COVID. You know, a lot of guys traveling to events during COVID was very stressful. The testing, the passenger locator forms, all these kind of things are big factors and they are cause anxiety. So spending time doing races, spending time doing other events, spending time doing multi-day stuff so that you really experience it firsthand, keeping a log of it, of these experiences and keeping a log of your training is something I can't recommend more to people that are doing big events or wanting to enter something challenging. Is keep a logbook of it. It's so, so powerful. So we've got a lot of stuff going on. I know I've dumped a lot of information on you. So we've got the structure, we've got your why, we're doing the event, you've got your nutrition structure. Now you're at the finish line. And it goes back to where we started. Visualization of you at the finish line. And every single person I speak to that has done one of these tremendously tough events don't spend enough time at the end. It's a rush. They don't get the photos they want. They're not prepared for it. So in that plan, when you just after you've committed to your event, visualize what you want to happen in that finish line. How do you want it to look? Who do you want with you? What do you want to feel? What do you want to experience? And just relive it in real life. Make it a reality. So taking your time at the finish line is, there's no rush. You're finished. I see people rushing through it. Oh, finished. Okay, cool. Done. Recover. No. Soak yourself in it. Almost, I try and recommend that my clients spend so much time at the finish line soaking it up that you want the officials to say, listen, can you please move on a little bit? You know, to keep, so you don't cause a backlog. Soaking yourself up with it. Banking those memories, feeling those feelings of joy that you've pushed yourself so hard that you've managed to get to the finish line of such a monumental effort and the commitment it's made to the commitment you made to yourself, the commitment that you've made even your family, the commitment they've made to you to let you be able to do this is important. It's really, really, really important. So I really hope that helps. I've given you a brief guideline of how to race better. And it works. It's proven. Every single person I've worked with that's done an extreme enduro has finished. And they've finished well and they've enjoyed it and they've celebrated it and they've banked those memories for life. Yes, it's painful. Yes, it's physical. But they had the correct planning in place. They prepared themselves correctly. and there was attention to detail, and there's a lack of attention to detail, because a lot of these events that we enter are impulsive, and we don't think of the commitment that it requires to get to that finish line. And people suffer. Yes, they can drag themselves through and get to the finish line, but it's also about enjoying the experience. So be prepared for it and be realistic. But just to, as we're coming to a close on this interactive podcast live with Sai, for those of you who are doing events and have a family, I think decisions need to be made as a family a lot of the time. And people need to take into account that the pressure that any event will put on the family. And getting everyone's buy-in is very, very important. And I've worked with a lot of athletes that I've also spent time with their family. And the dynamic it has in the family, the time away from the children, the financial commitment, that they're removing themselves. And having a supportive family to a certain level is key, because when the family don't have the buy-in, it's very challenging, because people feel guilty. There's sacrifices, there's time, they're making financial commitments. So getting the buy-in from the family is really, really important. And I think people need to, whatever it is that you're wanting to do in your life, whatever event it is, pulling your family and asking what they think, and can they support you through this commitment? Because it is a commitment. And I think that there needs to be more focus on that with people doing these big events, spending time and just asking your family's opinion, asking your kids, asking your friends, can they support you through this process? Because there's nothing worse than feeling like you're hounded, or you can't go training, or I haven't seen my wife and I've got to go on date night. And also, the people that do follow through with that I work with, planning is family time as well. So when you're going to be spending some time with the family, when the kids are on holiday, when you can do more that works in conjunction with the plan for your racing and for you to race better. We try and I interface the two together. They support each other. But not everyone asks the family for their approval, and that's okay. But for those of you who are wanting to do something big, and it is a big commitment and it has an impact on the family, ask your family how they feel about it, and can they support you? What are their expectations? And be honest with each other. And maybe it's too much. Maybe it needs to be a 2-year plan or a 3-year plan. And that's also, I've done a lot of that work where people have planned 2 years to do a certain event instead of doing it in 1 year, but taking into account the family dynamic. So I want to thank you for your time. So wonderful to be doing these podcasts in this interactive format. Before we jump off, I just want to say hi to Sally. Thanks for watching. Hello, Jamie. Wonderful to have you on here. And Caroline, really appreciate your time. Thanks for spending it with me. And for those of you who have done some big races, you know what it takes. I hope these tips help and supporting you making your decision to maybe do it again. And for those of you who have ambitions to enter something monumental, realize the sacrifice, understand your why, and most importantly, understand how committed you are to this process of getting onto the finish line. So lots of love. Have a fantastic day or evening wherever you are in the world. And please share, like, review. It all helps with me building this community. Lots of love. I'm out.